there may be dedicated neural machinery in the temporal lobes concerned with religion. This may have evolved to impose order and stability on society. The results indicate that whether a person believes in religion or even in God may depend on how enhanced is this part of the brain's electrical circuitry. More cautious than some of his admirers, Ramachandran has admitted that he is skating on thin ice with some of his ideas. One hypothesis that he had originally considered was that his hypothetical religious circuits are randomly strengthened by an epileptic attack, so that everything and anything acquires a deep significance, and when that happens, it starts resembling a religious experience. And if we can selectively enhance religious sentiments, then that seems to imply there is neural circuitry whose activity is conducive to religious belief. In other words, the random excess firing of neurons during the seizure causes the person to attribute mystical significance to everything. On the other hand, Ramachandran suggested another hypothesis to consider. Could it be that human beings have actually evolved specialized neural circuitry for the sole purpose of mediating religious experience? He thought that the tendency to random excess firing might have evolved because religious experiences aided human survival. He also thought of a way to decide between these two hypotheses. I contacted two of my colleagues who specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of epilepsy. Given the highly controversial nature of the concept of temporal lobe personality, not everyone agrees that these personality traits are seen more frequently in epileptics, they were quite intrigued by my ideas. A few days later, they recruited two of their patients who manifested obvious symptoms of this syndrome: hypergraphia, spiritual leanings, and an obsessive need to talk about their feelings and about religious and metaphysical topics. He then devised an experiment that involved the two TLE patients and a group of volunteers, of whom some were known to be highly religious and some were of unknown type or strength of belief. His team showed all participants a random sample of about 40 words and images. Some words or images were ordinary, but others were chosen to provoke a reaction. Included were words for ordinary inanimate objects, a shoe, vase, table, and the like, familiar faces, parents, siblings, unfamiliar faces, sexually arousing words and pictures, erotic magazine pinups, four-letter words involving sex, extreme violence and horror, an alligator eating a person alive, a man setting himself on fire, and religious words and icons, such as the word God.